Our scripture reading tonight is from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 in the New Living Translation. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. We have been on Thursday night since Pentecost looking at what it means to be the church. And we've reached up to God in worship and in prayer, and we've reached out to the world around us with evangelism, with mission. We've reached out to one another with community, fellowship. And now tonight we're going to end up. And hopefully we're going to walk out of here and continue to be the church. But we're going to talk about discipleship tonight. A lot of times in the church, we are very focused on being believers. And that's a very important thing, because it's important that we believe. And I think probably the born-again movement, as it's called, when it came about, really reinforced that. The necessity for us to be born again of the Spirit by believing in Jesus Christ, by believing that he sacrificed his life for ours, that our blood is washed clean only in his blood. And we believe that, and we affirm that, and we ask him into our lives, and we are born again. And it is crucially important. But I'm reminded as I read the scriptures that somehow it doesn't stop there. That we're called to believe, to be believers, but we're called as well to be disciples, to be followers. I took Latin in junior high and high school, just in case you were ever wondering whether I was in the cool crowd or not. I took Latin, and my very first Latin teacher would start off every class by saying, Salvete discipuli, and we would say back, Salve magistra. And what she was saying is, greetings, salutations, if you will, students, and we would say back to her, greetings, hello, teacher. It's that Latin word that we get disciples from, the word that means student. And we see that as people follow Jesus, and his followers were first called disciples. They were students of who he was. We see a beautiful picture of that in the very well-known story of Mary and Martha, as Martha is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's what disciples often do. They sat at the feet of their teacher to learn from him, to be in his presence, to soak in his wisdom, his power, and to learn what it was that the teacher had to teach them. That tradition continued. We read about Polycarp, who was one of the early church fathers, and unless you've read some church history, you probably haven't heard a whole lot about Polycarp. But Polycarp was a disciple, if you will, of John, the beloved disciple. He sat at John's feet, is how that's recorded time and time again in the early church writings. So there's something about this being a disciple, that we believe and we're saved, but we're not supposed to stop there. Our call to worship this evening, David's crying out for God's presence, was actually longer than the scripture we're going to look at tonight. Two small verses in the second chapter of Colossians. And yet, I think somehow, in some way, these two verses say so much of what needs to be said to us after we've accepted Jesus, after we've embraced this eternal life, this friendship that he's given us. Because Paul says, just as you've accepted the Lord Jesus, continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him, and build your life on him. And then you're going to grow in this faith that you've been taught about, and your hearts, your lives are going to overflow with thankfulness. A lot of the translations that I read these verses in talk about being rooted and grounded. And that's a very good image, to be rooted and grounded. But I love, love, love what the New Living Translation does with this verse. In this translation, we read Paul saying, let your roots grow down into him. Go deep into him. Build your lives upon him. And I love, love, love that image of the roots growing down deep into the fullness of who Jesus was. And that, I believe, captures so perfectly what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a Jesus follower, to let our roots grow down deep into who he is. There are several images in the scriptures that paint this picture for me. One is in Psalm 1. We read, David writes about the man who's blessed, the man who follows God, the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And David says this, he's like a tree planted by streams of water with his roots growing down in, and his leaves don't wither, and he continues to produce fruit no matter what is going on around him. Jeremiah gives us a glimpse of that same picture in chapter 17 of Jeremiah when he talks about the man who's righteous, the man who trusts God, is like a tree planted by the streams of water. And his roots, the picture is, going down deep, deep, deep into the soils. So they are getting all that richness from that stream of water, if you will, that stream of living water that we have in Jesus, so that when the winter comes, when the storm comes, when the drought comes, that tree is fine. It continues to produce fruit. Its leaves continue to be green because its roots are dug in deep. I had on the side of my lawn an ornamental plum tree. It was one of the prettiest trees I've ever seen when I could see trees. Had these beautiful purple leaves and pretty pink flowers, and it was so beautiful. I loved, loved that tree. And then we had a storm one day, and the tree just completely fell over. And I was talking to my friend who was a landscaper, and he said to me, you know, these kind of trees, their roots don't grow deep. They just grow out. And so when the ground gets real wet or strong wind comes, plop, they just fall right over. Jeremiah and David are painting these pictures for us. Paul is painting this picture of us. So we don't want to do that. We don't just want to let our roots stay shallow. We believe in Jesus, and that's awesome. We want to grow deep, deep down into him, where those streams of living water is, where our leaves are green, and we're growing, and we're luscious, and we're producing beautiful fruit. How do we do that? How do we dig our roots deep into Jesus? It's a beautiful picture, but if we can't put a practical application to it, it's sort of just a really nice thought. On our own, we dig our roots deep into Jesus, doing just the things that you would think of doing. And that's making sure we're spending time with him in his presence. It's making sure we're taking time to read his word, to listen to what he might want to speak into our lives. We grow our roots down deep in practicing what the church has called for centuries the spiritual disciplines of Bible reading and Bible study and prayer and fasting and solitude, where sometimes we just pull away from the world and we shut off the TV and the radio and we get off the internet and we just be alone by ourselves with God. The discipline of simplicity, which is sometimes we just step back again from all the craziness, all the materialism, all the stuff that the world keeps telling us we need and that we chase after, and start living this simple life only in Jesus. Those are all ways that as individuals we grow our roots down deep into who he is, that we know who he is in a deeper and a deeper way, that he presses himself more deeply into our lives, that little by little by little we are changed and transformed into the people that he's calling us to be. Because you see, we can accept Jesus as our Savior, and we can stop right there, and the reality of it is we will go to heaven. That's the absolute reality of it. The horror, the sadness, the tragedy of that is that we miss out on this abundant life that Jesus came to give us that starts right now. We miss out on this intimate friendship with the God of the universe. You know why heaven is heaven? Nothing to do with streets of gold and crystal rivers and saints and angels and golden harps. That's all awesome, but it's icing on the cake. What makes heaven heaven is that when we get there, finally, face to face, we see him, this God who has been our friend all these days, this God who we've worshiped in the spirit, who we've known through his word, who we've known by being in his presence, but dimly, like through a glass, like through a mirror, we see him face to face. Full in his glory, and he calls our name. That is what makes heaven heaven. Because this God that we worship now in spirit, we then see fully, we know fully. And so we get, if you will, to experience a little bit of heaven on earth because we are invited, even though we can't see him with our eyes, our physical eyes most times, we are invited into this intimacy of relationship where we soak him in, where we love him more than any other love or any other desire in our lives, where he fills us up, Paul tells us in another part of Colossians, with the fullness of who he is. Our lives are never the same, that when the storms come, and they will, when the harsh winter comes, and it will, when the drought comes, and it will, we don't buckle in the wind and fall, but we stand firm because our roots are deep into him. Living water, the source of all life. And so it's important that we be disciples in our individual lives. It's important that we sit at his feet. It's important that we dig deeper. But it's also one of the purposes of the church. It's one of the things that the church is supposed to do. The church not being this building, but being us gathered in here. Is that we disciple one another. There's a proverb where Solomon says, just as iron sharpens iron, so one man, one person, if you will, sharpens another. There's something about being part of this body. There's something about sharing our lives together as a people, growing our roots deep, deep, deep into Jesus. And we have some official opportunities that we can do that here in this building, or at least in this congregation. One of which is men's and women's Bible studies, which are, I think, off for the summer, but certainly happen in the fall, where we gather around with one another, and we study God's word, and we share our lives. And just like iron sharpens iron, we get to sharpen one another, to encourage one another on in this race we're running, this road we're walking, if you will. You know, there's a beautiful picture in Hebrews 12, right after the writer of the book of Hebrews lists this hall of faith, if you will. All these people who have gone on before, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on and on and on, David and Deborah. He just goes on, Moses, listing, listing, listing. And after he lists this huge list, he says this: then, since we have this great crowd of witnesses, let us run this race with perseverance. Just as I believe the saints who've gone on before us cheer us on, we have that opportunity right here to cheer one another on, to encourage each other to go deeper, to hear each other's struggles, even sometimes to confess our sins to one another so that we can pray for one another, that we can grow together as the body of Christ. So there's men's and women's Bible study. There's Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, there's an adult Sunday school class that Debbie teaches. Again, just a beautiful opportunity for God's people to gather around the table to study his word and to share our lives. And you know what happens when we do that? God knits us into a community. He makes that place a sacred place, a safe place where people can share their struggles, where they can be encouraged, where they can pray for one another. It's an incredible blessing to be able to do that. The women do that in their two different women circles. And if that's something as a woman you're interested in doing, I know Sue Hill would be delighted to talk to you about that. But again, another opportunity for people to study and pray and fellowship with one another and encourage one another on. We do that in worship as we gather together and we share our prayers and our worship and our praises. So we have all these official, if you will, ways that we disciple one another, that we encourage one another to go deeper, that we sharpen one another, that we remain unsatisfied, if you will, with the status quo. I use this image all the time because it's been so real to me the past 6 months of my life. How often I'm absolutely content standing at the edge of God's banquet table eating crumbs that fell on the floor. You know, just a tiny little bit, that's enough for me. When God is inviting me to a banquet table of prime rib and every delicacy that I could imagine. When God is saying to me, come feast on me, don't eat stale crumbs. And that's what happens when we become disciples. That's what happens when we disciple one another, when we encourage one another to press in, to go deeper, to go further, to commit our lives more seriously, to follow him more closely, to spend more time listening to what he has to say to us. So as we have these official ways to do that, I encourage you to start seeking out with others unofficial ways. We have opportunities to pray together. We have that officially, if you will, in our prayer group that meets every other Monday. And starting in September, we'll be moving from the Shell Hearts into our brand new Sacred Grounds Coffee House Cafe right in this building. A beautiful opportunity to pray with one another. But again, a beautiful opportunity is constantly available to us as we gather together in this room to reach out to one another, to start praying together. You know, if you don't have a prayer partner, maybe start praying about finding one, somebody that you can share your heart with. Somebody who will hold you accountable, if you will. Somebody who you can confess your sins to. Someone you can share your heart's desire with. Someone who is going to pray for you and encourage you to be all that God's calling you to be and to follow wherever it is he's calling you to go. Again, we rob ourselves by doing this Jesus thing part-time. We rob ourselves by having one foot in the kingdom and one foot somewhere else. We're in transition, every one of us. But as we run toward God, he is able to run more fully to us. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It's a promise from Scripture. That's what he's calling us to do, calling us to be. So my challenge for you, this last challenge, this last Thursday of looking at being the church, is to think about how your roots are growing. And you know, the very simplest thing to do is if you want more of this abundant life that God's promised you, if you want to know him better, if you want to trust him more, if you want to see him come bursting into your ordinary lives and extraordinary moments, the very best first thing you can do is ask him for more. It's the awesome thing about God. It doesn't matter if you started following him yesterday or if you've been following him for 80 years. If you barely know him or you know him better than your closest friend, there is always more to know with God. He's always deeper and brighter and more beautiful and more radiant and kinder and more gracious and more loving and compassionate than we can even imagine him to be. And his invitation to us is to come. Come in deeper. I love the last book of the Chronicles of Narnia, The Last Battle, where it's sort of depicting the end of the world in C.S. Lewis's fairy tale retelling of the gospel. and kingdom life, if you will. And as they come face to face with Aslan in Aslan's country, and they're running and running, and he keeps saying, farther up and further in, farther up and further in, because there's more and more and more to discover, more and more and more to experience, and God longs to have his glory revealed more and more in our lives. He longs to grow ripe, beautiful, delicious fruit in our lives. And that's his invitation to us. So the first thing we do is we ask. And then I want you to spend some time this week thinking about how you can help your roots grow deep. Maybe you don't read the Bible at all. And you know, it's perfectly fine to be honest about that you don't do that. For years of my life, I've read the Bible sporadically. Maybe you don't read the Bible every day. Maybe you don't have a set apart time that you want to be with God. I encourage you to start doing that, even if it's one verse in the morning, even if it's one prayer, God be in this day. Maybe look at some of the spiritual disciplines. Richard Foster, A Celebration of Discipline, is a great resource to start. But try out some of these things. You know, I've started a couple of the disciplines in my life, and it's blown my mind how much they've been incorporated into what my spiritual life looks like and how God uses those as a means of grace to reveal his grace to me, to draw me in more and more and more. Take some time this week. Think about how your roots are doing. Ask God for more of him if that's what you want. Think about some things you could do, very practical, everyday things that you could do to help those roots grow down deep into Jesus, where we experience more and more the fullness of who he is. Will you pray with me? God, we are overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed that you are God and God alone. And yet you invite us, mortal, fragile human beings, to know you. That God, somehow, as we worship you, as we pray, as we sing your praises, as we read your word, God, that brings you joy. It brings you delight, and we can't even begin to comprehend that. But I know, God, for my life, I know for the life of everyone in this room, God, that you have more for us. You long for us to know you better. You long to bless our lives more abundantly. You long to bring healing in deeper, deeper places of our lives. You long to make us more and more fully yours. God, we don't want to be part-time in your kingdom. We don't want to dance around the edges of who you are. We don't want to eat stale crumbs. We want to know you. We want to love you. We want to follow you. God, we want to grow in grace. We want to grow in wisdom. We want to grow in the knowledge of who you are. So God, have your way in us. God, show us ways. Show us ways that we can draw close to you. Show us ways, Lord, that we can have our roots grow down deep, deep, deep into you. God, that we might give you glory, that we might bear much fruit for you. We might be live lives that are a song of praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.